Blog Talk Radio. We Fix Credit. Are you bound by medical bills, child support liens, evictions, late payments, repossession, bankruptcy, or student loans? Today, you can turn that around. Time to be no longer bound. Hi, my name is Dove Stanton, and the name of my credit restoration company is No Longer Bound Financial Services. We are a debt-free company with the means to help thousands of people restore and rebuild their credit. Our customers have been able to obtain their dream homes, dream cars, refinancing, and building a greater future for them and their families. We dispute all negative and erroneous items from all three major credit bureaus. In closing, we can help you restore your credit, which in turn will restore your financial future. The way to reach me is by telephone or text at 678-760-6056, or you can email me at the number 4, the letter U, betterdays@gmail.com. Time to be no longer bound. You gotta have faith.
All right. Hello, everyone. Welcome once again to another Tuesday night Praise Tabernacle Bible study, where this is something that we do every Tuesday night as part of Praise Tabernacle's weekly schedule, where our pastor is Pastor Omar, Bishop Omar Zachary, and his wife, Lady Zachary, the head of our leadership team. And we just want to welcome everybody once again that may be listening all over the world, over in London and in Germany and in Bahamas and all over the United States here that may be tuned in. And we just want to say welcome to another dynamic Bible study. And I just want to thank our leadership team, parts of our leadership team that is on tonight, Elder Bluett, his wife Evangelist Bluett, Evangelist Stanton, her husband, Lee Stanton, Deacon Lee Stanton, and our great speaker tonight, who will be Minister Tolbert. And we just want to welcome everybody that's tuned in. And as I always say every week, you know, we just want people to get something out of the Bible study that you can use. If it's just one nugget, if it's 20 nuggets, if it's something that can help you advance your life with the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray that you get something out of it tonight. And again, we just want to thank you for all that has tuned in tonight. And we just want to thank you for everybody that is listening all over the world. And just give God glory tonight. And we just pray that all is well. And we do have a prayer request that has finally been sent in that Evangelist Stanton is going to read towards the end of the service. And we would just want to thank God for that. So our speaker tonight, like I said just a few minutes ago, it would be Minister Tolbert, who is one of our ministers on our leadership team. Great speaker, great young man. Love him and his family to life. And Mr. Tolbert, the service is now in your hands, sir.
All right. Thank you, Elder Taylor. Want to say good evening to everyone listening. Thank you all for joining on today. And to back up what Elder Taylor is saying, just hope that everyone gets something out of the lesson on today. But we're going to be coming from 1 Peter chapter 1, and the topic comes from verse 15. So we got 1 Peter chapter 1, the topic verse comes from verse 15. All right. And it reads, "But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation." And the Lord gave me a topic on today, holiness over foolishness.
All right.
And I'm going to just pray for the lesson. Heavenly Father, precious Lord, I ask that you would just take over this service, Lord, praying that people that are listening on today be fulfilled on today, Father God. I ask that you would just touch everyone's heart and mind that decided to tune in on today, Father God. And I just ask that you would just take over, Lord, let your spirit run free. Allow me to teach the word according to your will and your purpose. Allow the Holy Spirit to reign free on today. In the mighty name of Jesus, Lord, hide me so that you can have the increase on today, Father God. In the name of Jesus, and we pray, amen. Amen. So holiness is a way of life and a lifestyle that is pleasing unto God. Holiness comes from God through the power of the Holy Spirit. Foolishness always come our way as a distraction in order to deter us from holiness. Sometimes we know people that have foolishness. That's why the word says, come out from among them, be separate. So we have to take the word as an example. Now let's look at verse 13. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. This verse basically translates as this: therefore, be on alert, focused, and sober. Set your hope on grace to come unto you when Jesus is revealed at his coming. Saints, we have to be ready for when Jesus comes back. We have to use the main tool that we have to help us to be ready, which is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit affects our connection to righteousness and our ability to be holy in the first place. We can't be holy without the Holy Spirit. It just don't work that way. Verse 13, 14. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ, as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance. This verse is encouraging us as obedient children of God not to return to our old ways before knowing Christ. Now that we are Christians, there should be some type of difference between who we were before we met Christ and who we are after Christ. We can't
That's right.
be the same person of old, because that's no progression. If we're still the same person, then where's the change? Where is the effect? And that doesn't give God the glory if we try to be the same person. So that's why the Bible talks about this in Ephesians 4:22-24, that we have to make this change. And this is what it says: that ye put off concerning former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God created in righteousness and true holiness. Meaning that we can't be that same person, and we have to be transformed and become a new creature. For those that are in Christ are a new creature. So we have to make that word true. So we have to live that. We have to be that example that, no, we can't be the same person that we were before. We have to choose holiness over foolishness. Any comments on that?
No, sir. You good right now?
Okay. As I said, going back to our old lifestyle at this point in our walk is foolishness. The best thing that we can do is keep people away from us that only care about foolishness. So, for example, we have to be in charge of our circle. We have to know that the people around us have to be able to help us, and not only that, but be able to be on the same level as us. We need people around us that's going to help us be more holy versus the people that we know that's going to bring the foolishness in our life. Honestly, that's going to have more of a temptation, because if you think about it, if you're hanging around people that are doing things that are up to no good, it's really only a matter of a time before you may possibly yield and do stuff that's up to no good yourself. So we have to have our prayer partners, and we also have to focus on God. So we have to turn our attention to be obedient, and like the word says, be as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust and your ignorance, meaning before you knew of Christ. So we can't be that same person. So we have to look at our situation and realize that we need to be around more people that mean the best for us versus people that don't mean the best for us. So we need to lean unto the Spirit and choose holiness over foolishness. Verse 15 on down. But as he which has called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Topic verse. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. Our daily mission and goal is to be Christ-like, which means that since we have a holy God, we have to be holy as well through the power of the Holy Spirit. We have to live a lifestyle that people can see God in us according to our actions. So there should be some type of action, some type of proof that, you know, we are who we say we are. We Christians, right? So there should be the proof that follows that. We have to be holy because sometimes we can be the only example of Jesus that some people are going to see. So we have to be that example to be more Christ-like. We have to portray that image that's going to attract people to God versus being the reason that people say, I don't really want to go towards God because, see, now this person's being hypocritical, or this person's that, or this person ain't acting Christ-like. That's why you have to be holy in all manner of conversation. So whether you're out, you know, whether it's verbal or nonverbal, you have to be holy in what you talk about. You have to be holy in the example that you put in before the people, because people are watching you.
That's right. That's right.
Amen. And anybody want to jump in before I continue?
I like to say, you know, people have to see a difference. They have to see, like you just said, people that knew you when you were foolish, people that knew you when you were in the world, and now that you've come on the Lord's side and accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior and received the gift of the Holy Ghost, those people are the ones that's going to have to see a difference in you, because the people that didn't know you back then is not going to know a difference when they see you now. You know, but the people that knew you then, they have to see a difference of who you say you are now because of your relationship with the Lord, you know. And you can't be going back and forth and be hypocritical with them, because they're going to be like, well, what kind of Jesus you got? And you, when you're around us, you still doing this, that, and the other, you know.
Right.
And then other times you want to talk about, you know, Jesus and how good he is to you in your life, you know. So there has to be a significant difference in your life and a significant change, a mindset, physically, verbally, your actions, how you talk, what you say. You know, you don't say the same things you used to say. You don't curse no more. You don't consume all kind of different types of alcohol like you used to. And you know, you're not whoremongering. You know, you're not in the clubs no more. The Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost has brought you out of the world. You know, we're still in this world, but we're not of this world. You know, and I believe we have to always be a difference and be an example of who Jesus Christ is in our lives, the ones that calls ourselves believers in Him.
I agree.
Amen.
Thank you.
Amen. I also want to add to that, like Elder was saying, the mindset, it's what you feed yourself to, you know, because you started with verse 13, wherefore gird up the loins of your mind. What are you putting in your mind? Because everything starts right there with your thoughts. What are you thinking about? But if you're not feeding yourself healthy and good stuff, then your mind is going to veer and go to the things that you're feeding it. So, you know, you have to think about the movies, the television, the music, you know, what you're reading. You do have to think about those things. All those things play a part of what you're building your mind with. And the more, like, you read the Word of God, the more you watch movies that are wholesome, the more you listen to music that's good, that's what's going to be on your mind, versus if you're watching a movie that has a lot of cursing in it. I mean, I know sometimes people think, yeah, you know, it's okay. But I know that if I watch a movie with a lot of cursing in it, those words will be in my thoughts. And thank God I've learned, you know, I've got to cover them with the words. So I try to stay away from those movies as much as possible. So it's in our mind, and we got to be careful what we feed the mind. That's why it's important that we feed it the Word of God. You know, because then we would have that right there in order to walk in holiness, you know. So thank you, sir. That's all.
Agree. I'm going to piggyback. No, go ahead. Go ahead.
I would like to elaborate as well. He said, therefore, gird up your loins, your mind.
Mm-hmm.
Your mind, you have to be sharp. You have to be on point at all times to give an answer. And how could you gird up your loins and of your mind if you're drunk on yourself? We always look at the worldly, you know, things as being, you know, drunk with liquor and cussing and this and that. But a lot of us, we drunk on ourselves and the things that we want. And it's, I mean, being sober is just being alert and being ready at all times. Okay, and being obedient children, going. Or did we go to 14 yet? Did you go to 14?
Yes, I did.
Okay, being obedient children, fashion yourself according to the former things of the lust of ignorance. Being ignorant is things that you don't know. Now that you come into the knowledge of Christ, we should act accordingly at all times. Being sober, being quick, you know, when to have an answer to those that are lost.
Amen. Amen. Wonderful comment. I'm going to piggyback off of the parts that you all are speaking on, both Evangelist Stanton and Evangelist Blewett. They are piggybacking off of the part where it says, therefore, gird up your, the loins of your mind and protecting your mind, basically. So one thing that Evangelist Stanton said earlier was about movies. And I'm going to pick up one part, but I'm going to go slightly in a different direction. So to piggyback off of it, I get what you're saying, especially with movies. You have to protect yourself. And one of the things that I do, I like movies. But I do like some, like, scary movies and stuff like that. But here's the thing. One thing that I know that I don't do is, like, I don't watch, like, if I watch horror movies, I don't watch the demonic one, like the Conjuring and all of that type stuff. It bothers me. So ever since I've seen one of them, and I know that it don't put me in a good headspace with possession type of movies, I just don't watch them anymore. And, you know, so that's where I got to protect myself and know better. Like, you know what? It might, and to some people it may seem a little simple, but honestly, certain things get in your mind and get in your spirit. You know, you're seeing too many symbols because, like, they have, like, actual demonic stuff in there. That's the point in the movie. But they're talking about a situation, but that's also an image in your head. You know, you're only going to see the mark of the beast for so many times before you're like, man, you know, and it starts to affect you, you know, but then you got to get prayed up. You know what I'm saying? So that's why you have to guard your mind, even on that. I just wanted to pick up on the movies part real quick before going forward. But did anyone else have anything else before I finish off verse 16?
No.
Okay, no problem. So what I want to pick up at is to piggyback also on what everybody's saying. Some people should have to notice that there's something different about you when it comes down to a change in you being a Christian. And the examples could be, you know, you don't act like everybody else. You don't talk like everybody else. You don't, in a sense, you don't walk the same as everybody else. You may have more patience than others. You're more loving than others. There should be some signs that point to God being the head of your life. So that's the point in this change that we have to have as far as being holy. That has to be the evidence of that. And also with this verse, reading back over verse 16, because it is written, "Be ye holy, for I am holy." That verse is also a cross-reference where you can find that in the scriptures from Leviticus 11:44-45. And we serve a holy God, therefore we must be holy also. So that's where it comes in, like I said earlier, with the topic holiness over foolishness. So we have to always keep that in mind, that we got to be holy because the God that we serve is holy. Verse 17, "And if ye call on the Father, who without respect of person judges according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear." This verse means, since we call on the Father who doesn't show respect to person, but judges according to every man's work, spend the rest of your time as foreigners in reverent fear of in reverent fear. So in sojourners, is like a person that stays a place temporarily. Or, for example, we are foreigners because, or sojourners, because we are temporarily on this earth and in this world, and we need to fear the Lord and be holy. So that's what we get from that verse. Verse 17, "For as much as ye know that ye are not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot." We as Christians, we were redeemed by the precious blood of Christ. And there are many things that makes this blood special. First off, Jesus was God in the flesh. He was the Son of God. He committed no sin, which means that he was completely innocent. And through his blood came forgiveness of sin and the power over sin. And this was the ultimate sacrifice. No one but Jesus could have endured what he did, and no one else could have redeemed us. And the word redeem means to buy, to pay off, to recover, by payment or to pay back or to make amends for. Jesus made amends for our sins, past, present, and future. Through Jesus' sacrifice, it gave us grace. Now we live by faith and by grace. His sacrifice changed our lives for the better, and now he paid the debt for us. So he paid the debt that we couldn't pay by his blood, and it had nothing to do with no amount of money, no amount of silver, or nothing that we could give in exchange. So it was all a part of God's plan, and through the power of Jesus Christ, by him having his sacrifice and power of the blood.
Amen.
Anybody got anything to say on that before we go forward?
Yeah, Minister Tobert, you cooking, and one of the things I just want to throw in there real quick is when you say live holy, and when you people say we want to live holy, there's a difference because you got to have the Spirit of God in you in order to live holy. Mm-hmm. And if you don't be convicted in your everyday life, something ain't right. You're not living holy. Because if you're not being convicted without no one saying anything or even seeing you, you can't be holy. People say they're holy because we can talk the talk. But in order to be holy, you have to have that conviction. And if you're watching someone, if you're doing something, if you don't feel convicted, something's wrong. You're not being led by the Spirit. Because if you're being led by the Spirit, even if you have a bad thought, if you're watching something you ain't supposed to be watching, my spirit irritates me. It starts to convict me. But then some areas in my life, it doesn't bother me. Long as you don't see it, I'm cool. Then you can't live holy. People say they live in holy, and you can use the scriptures, but if you're not being convicted in your everyday walk, something's wrong, and you're not living holy. You're just faking the funk. That's all I want to say. There's a difference. Because when you're living holy, you're going to be convicted of the things of this world. And it don't take an individual to see it or show it. It should just be some type of conviction you have if you're being led by the Spirit.
Agreed.
Amen. And I would like to elaborate on that as well. That's where the Holy Spirit come in. A lot of people think it's, you know, jumping around, shouting and doing this. No, the Holy Spirit comes to keep you if you want to be kept. Okay, it will convict you when you are doing wrong. This is what the Holy Spirit comes to do, to comfort those that are, you know, that are weary. I mean, it's there to comfort you, to help you through life, period, to be right, to live righteous,
Amen.
To be holy. But you can't be holy without it. And it's not for jumping in around and falling on the floor and you still cussing. It comes to help you be right and walk right and treat others right and love.
Amen. I just would like to bring up the scripture that reminds me of this chapter in the Philippians, chapter 2, verse 5 through 7. And it says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. So, you know, we're supposed to have the mind of Christ, and Christ was humble. He was a servant. He loved. He forgave. He had long suffering. He was patient. He was kind. We're supposed to have that same mindset. And even though people did him wrong, he didn't cuss anybody out. He didn't tell anybody off. We're supposed to walk in that humility, in that servanthood, in that love, in that forgiveness. It's not just supposed to be with our words. I talked about the fruit on last week. our fruit that we bear should show in our lives. That's the evidence that you have the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Because the fruit is showing. You know, it's not just your voice saying, oh, you know, I love the Lord. No, you know, love is an action word. Mm-hmm. It's not just saying, I love you, but it is a action word. It's how we walk out this life. And the only way this is obtainable, and we're all saying it, and to all the listeners, just to remind you, we all have to do this. We have to be in the Word of God. You have to pray. You have to get into the presence of God so that God can renew your mind, so that you can surrender those thoughts to Him, so you can bring those imaginations under subjection, so you can cast them down. But that happens with the Word of God. You've got to have the Word of God through the Holy Spirit. It is possible. It's possible to live a holy life. It really is. You know, people don't think it is, but it is possible. You know, once you make up in your mind, and Evangelist Bluette said this a few minutes ago, you got to want to participate in it. You got to want to participate. You can't just be like, okay, you know, I'm a bystander. Let me just watch. No, you have got to participate yourself. Jesus got away a lot of times from the disciples to go pray. You got to get away and go pray. You've got to set time aside to get with God and go pray. Your family needs to see you doing that.
Amen.
So it's
a demonstration.
You
got to
participate in it.
That's right. We have to show the world how to love. We have to show. It's a demonstration. We have to show the world how to love and how to give and how to be Christ-like. We have to. How are they going to know if we don't demonstrate it? He didn't come to condemn the world. He came to love the hell out of people.
That's right. That's right. Beautiful comments. Thank you all for definitely lending your input and helping us get on the right track on Bible study tonight. And definitely would like to say that every comment was spot on. So we're going to go forward. I'm going to read 19 on down, okay? But the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God, who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Jesus was here all the way in the beginning, before the world, and John said it the best in the opening account of the gospel, John 1:3. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. So Jesus, which has been affirmed on many occasions, was always there from the beginning, from the foundation. And he was there before the world was there. Jesus left heaven and became flesh for our sake to redeem us and give us an opportunity at eternal life. And now that's a reason for all of us to praise his name. That's the reason why we can exalt him. That's the reason why we can give a witness on what he's done. And that's the reason why we can celebrate what Jesus has done, is because he didn't have to do it, but he did it for us. He left that's heaven, right. Amen, to be tortured for us. He already knew what the plan was. He knew what came with it because he's all-knowing. So he came for our sake to redeem us and shed his blood so that we can have that opportunity at eternal life. And only thing that we have to do is just know that we have to accept him, live holy, be holy because he is holy, and we just got to do right. And the way that we do that, we got to have that mindset that is holiness over foolishness. So we can't allow ourselves to be distracted. We can't focus on the distractions. They're going to come. Pastor did a good job talking over Sunday and talked about a marathon and running a race. Well, even in the race, you have obstacles, like he said. So those are going to be things that's going to get in our way as we strive for the prize of getting to heaven. But we have to know that we have to lean on our tools, which is the Holy Spirit. And then some obstacles we put in our own way. So sometimes we got to know that we have to remove the things that mean no good for us in the first place so that we can focus on a holy lifestyle. And that doesn't mean that you're never going to make a mistake. You're going to make a mistake. You fall, you repent quickly. You get back up. You get back in the race. It's not
That's
over.
Right.
So I think that what happens is when people think that you can't be holy, they put too much thought into it. So you don't have to put enough thought into it. What you have to do is allow the Holy Spirit to move and reign free in your life and just go about your day-to-day with the Holy Spirit, through the power of the Spirit, and also get a connection with God through his word. So as long as you stay prayed up and you stay in your word, yeah, you can live a holy lifestyle. You sure can, and you're going to do it without you noticing that you're doing it. It's just like trying to breathe. You don't always notice that you're breathing, but you end up breathing. You don't have to think about taking a breath, but you know that you're doing it. Same thing with holiness. You know that you don't have to always have to think about it. It's something that if you allow the Spirit to take over, you can be holy. And when that situation comes, when that distraction comes, and you've built up a wall of defense so that you're ready, because if you don't prepare, you'll never be ready for the test. And we're going to have things come our way. But if we're not prepared, then that's when we can fall. So that's why the holiness, it comes with the lifestyle, and it also comes with you being prepared. So you have to work on your preparedness as well. Going on to verse 22.
I'm so sorry. I just want to kind of say something real quick. One thing, there's several things that I do to get me to read the word every single day. I try to get up in the morning, every morning, at least 45 minutes to an hour before to pray. But in the event I get lazy that morning, in my bathroom, I have a little stand. And on the stand, I have a Bible and I have a little booklet. It's just an encouragement booklet. So one thing everybody does every morning is at least go to the bathroom. You need to start getting into the practice of putting the word somewhere that you're going to encounter it every day. It's like if you go into the bathroom to brush your teeth, have a scripture on the mirror, something, and read it out loud. Meditate on that scripture. If you go take a shower or a bath in the morning, have you a scripture somewhere. Get into the habit of having the word in the places that you know that you are going to encounter in your house to read the Word of God. Put a scripture on the refrigerator every week if you need to, or every single day, a different scripture. Just type it out, write it out, whatever. Tape it to the refrigerator with your magnet. Read that scripture when you go to open up the refrigerator. Read the Word of God. We need to get into the habit of having the Word of God around us and reading the Word of God. So like you said, you can be prepared for the things that you're going to encounter, but you got to get into the habit. It's got to be a habit like you brush your teeth every day, and I hope everybody brush their teeth every day. Whether you have your teeth in a bowl or if you have your teeth in your mouth, you clean them every day. So put the Word of God where you can read it every single day and meditate on that word, because that word is life. That word is life. And if you did that once a week and changed out the scriptures every single week, look how much words you're getting into you. And this is for lazy people. This is for lazy people. I mean, because we should be reading our word, on a daily basis. But this is, I'm talking to the lazy people. If you feel like, oh, I don't have time, or you know, I don't know when I can get half an hour to read the Word of God. Well, if you put a scripture on the refrigerator once a week, or on your mirror, or in the toilet, wherever the toilet stool is, put a scripture in front of the door and read that scripture every day that you see it and meditate on that scripture, you will become hungrier and hungrier for the Word of God, because you'll get excited about it, because you will, that word will begin to come to life. So I just want to give people, you know, an idea. Yes, you can get in the Word of God. Just put it on your car dash. You get in your car, put it on the dash. Put the word right there. Read that scripture when you get in the car. There is no way. We cannot say we cannot read the Word of God, because yes, you can. It's just that you don't want to read the Word of God. And now that I've told you to put it on your mirror or in the toilet or in the toilet stool, wherever it is, or on the refrigerator or on your dash, by your closet, you are accountable for that.
Sorry.
Because you have the opportunity to read the word. Amen.
Amen. Great comment. Elder Blue,
can
are
I
you
get some in Minister Tobin?
Yes,
yeah,
sir.
Yeah. That's great. That's great what Evangelist Patton said, because in the beginning, God created us with all his might. He created us in his image. He set time apart to create us, each and every one of us. And even now as we live, he is still providing without being distracted. So to what Evangelist Staten was saying, it would be good if we would think about what God did for us and just take 5 minutes a day and read your word. That, I promise you this, that would turn into more time that you spend reading your word. Because if you actually to understand what the Bible is saying, God will give you that understanding in your daily walk and the routines and everything that you do every day. That word will come out somewhere, even if you don't understand it when you first read it. But you get it in you, and it'll be activated by God, what's in you for your walk, for your situations, for things that you do in life, at work, at home, wherever you are. If you get that word in you in the morning or even at night, that word will be activated when you need it, and it will blow your mind. I promise you, it will blow your mind. And you won't do nothing but smile.
Right.
Somebody's going to ask you, hey, man, what you smiling about? And you'll be able to tell them why.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you, Elder Bluehead. We're going to go forward from there. Thank you, Evangelist Stanton, for your comment as well. Verse 22, seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Now, by accepting Christ, we have purified our souls. We were lost, but now we are found. Through the power of the Spirit, we know how to love right and also how to show love. After accepting Christ, we are born again and incorruptible by the word of God. So there's power in the word of God. There's power in Jesus. So Jesus that lives forever, amen. So there's a lot of power in that. But we have to know that for us, we have to stay focused. We have to lean onto the power of God, get closer to God. And also, we have to stay in his presence, and therefore we can be holy. And we have to choose a lifestyle that's going to be holiness over foolishness. So we have to prepare our minds and get in our heart that we are going to be holy. And we can also show this love, show that action, like it's saying in, if we look at verse 22, part of it, where it says, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently. So that's the action. Love is the action word. So we have to show that love and show the love that God gives us, that we can be able to spread it to others. We have to share that love to our fellow Christians and to those that ain't Christians, because it's also to your enemies, as the word talks about. I don't have the exact scripture, but it's basically it's easy to love, you know, people that love you back. What about those people, you know, the evil people, the people that don't love you? It's easy to do that, somebody that you know you're cool with or something like that, to show love to that person. But what about showing love to your enemy? That's where you prove God to be who he is. That's where you prove God as far as his love. That's when you prove his love others. When you can love somebody that don't have good intentions for you, that's showing that godly love. That's when you're really showing God's love. Because for us, it's easy to love somebody that already loves you. It's easy to show love to that person. But what about showing love to your enemy, that person that backstabs you, that person that said something crazy to you, that person that set you up before? What about showing love to that person? And it doesn't mean that you have to put yourself in a vulnerable situation, but that's where we say this as a cliche, but that's really how you could love the hell out of somebody, because that's your enemy that's doing something crazy or something like that. But that's when you put that cliche into action, when you're showing so much love that it provokes and sparks a change within another person. That's what it truly means to love the hell out of somebody. And that was definitely used in context, by the way. Verse 24.
Can I say something real quick?
Yes, go ahead.
Seeing that you are purified yourself, you can't love somebody unless you're purified and it's clean and it's you got all of that hate and all that. That's why I said, if you just purify yourself, if you just purify your mind, purify your soul, just purify it. And get if you go through the, to be purified, if you have to go through the fire, You have to be, you know, you have to be tried. You have to, and every time I say that I'm delivered from something, or I'm always tested. I'm always tested in that area. And that should let me know if I got it or if I don't. So let's not, let's enjoy or what is it? In, I think it's in the, is it Ephesians? With, we'll say something, count it all joy. Count it all joy. Okay, when you're going through. Because it's just testing to see where you are in your walk. It's purifying you so you can love. So you can do the things that God is asking asking of us. So don't think it as a bad thing when you're tried. Count it all joy that God even considered you. And I love it every time. I mean, every time I'm tested in the area, I love it when I say, you know what? I could have said that. I could have. It don't even cross my mind anymore what I could have done. I just walk in it. Somebody else have to remind me. Mama, you did that. You did it. You. What? Other people see it. It comes a habit now to want to do right and to love and to do things right. It's not even surprising. It should come natural. And other people should feel it and see it in you. You shouldn't have to announce, you know, oh, I'm delivered from that. No. Because every time I say it, I'm tried in it. And every time I go through it, we have to walk in it at all times, not when we want to. But and count it all joy when you come out.
That's right. And I'm a witness also for everybody on the phone that have shown love, especially in different occasions, from my own situations when I got into an accident with a 18-wheeler. Everyone on this phone has shown the same type of love that we're talking about and expressing in the scriptures on today. Whether it be going out your way to check on us, you know, putting something in your pocket here and there, or just, hey, I got a whole, you know, Elder Oliver gave us from a sponsor from Pepsi and from Pizza Hut gave us a lot of pizza as well as some Pepsi products. So it was just a lot of overwhelming love that was shown. Taylor family always looking out for us, and they came by as well. So we are able to show our love, and we have to continue to show love. So I'm just witnessing here that everyone else has done so much for us. And I just thank God for the Stantons and also the Bluette family on what they've done. So I've seen every last elder and evangelist show that godly love on this phone. And I hope I didn't skip anybody, but I did say everybody on this phone has definitely shown love, and I've seen it out of a pure heart, giving purely and showing that love, showing the care and compassion. So before I go forward, thank you all for all of you done and being a good example. So thank you to the panel before I go forward. And we'll be ending soon. I'm going to go over 24 to 25, and we'll be ending. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. And in short, all flesh on the earth is compared to in the scripture as grass, and humans as flowers. And what I took from these scriptures is that man's glory, or the best that a man can be as humans, as the best that we can be as beautiful as a flower. But at the end of the day, all flesh will wither away and die, but the word of the Lord will stand forever. And there's nothing that we can do about that. So the best thing that we can do is make our choice to be holy and make our choice to put holiness over foolishness. And in short, that is it for me. I hope you all got something from that. Hope that you all are encouraged to choose holiness over foolishness and service into the hands of Elder Taylor.
All right, Minister Tolbert, outstanding job tonight, man. As always, very encouraging words. I know I got some nuggets out of the word tonight from you and from the panel. So I hope everyone else that's been listening tonight received something on how to be holy, how to live a holy lifestyle, and holiness over foolishness. And it's a habit. Holiness is a habit. It's something that we have to create, a habit of being. It's a mindset. It's knowing to be in the Word of God through the Holy Ghost and allowing that Word to grow in us each and every day. So I just hope that, you know, someone somewhere listening, wherever you may be, got something from this word tonight, because it's so encouraging to be encouraged and know that holiness is a way of life. It's something that we do every day. It's not every now and then. It's not when it's just convenient for us. It's something that we pursue and do on a daily basis as a man, woman, or child of God. And like Evangelist Bluett says, when we're going through, that can really, you know, try your faith, try your holiness. You know, when you're going through things, will that make you try to convert back to the old you? You know, sometimes we're going to go through things to test our, you know, where we are, where we stand with Jesus in terms of being holy. So everyone that's been listening tonight, I just want to encourage you on behalf of Praise Tabernacle Church and our ministerial staff, our panel that's been on tonight, to just be encouraged and continue to press forward in the Word of God and the things of God. So I just want you guys to know that we love you at Praise Tabernacle Church again, and we just want to encourage you all, you know, to keep pushing on. Don't give up the fight. Stay in the race. Stay in the fight. Stay in the Word. Be holy, for your Lord God is holy, you know, and just keep pushing. Keep pushing. Keep pushing. Keep pushing. And I think we have a testimony or a prayer request that finally we got somebody to send to our email, ptcforchrist@gmail.com. And I'm going to ask Evangelist Dove Stanton, will she read it, please?
Yes, sir. Thank you. Thank you for the lesson on tonight, Minister Tolbert. Our request tonight is coming from a young lady. Her father, I'll just say his first name but not his last name. Her father, Samuel, went into the hospital. He went in due to a blood infection in his kidney that the doctor found. He did have a procedure done on his heart and another procedure done after that. And he ended up going into ICU because of those procedures due to his blood pressure dropping very badly. She's saying that her mother is very upset, and she's been in contact with the doctors and the nurses checking on him. She wanted us to keep her family lifted in prayer. She does believe that her dad will leave the ICU and return to a regular room with healing. So we're lifting up Samuel. I'm sorry. We're lifting up Samuel on this evening in prayer that he would come through out of the hospital, out of ICU, home, healed, and that his family would be at peace, especially her mother.
All right. Amen. Amen. Well, let's go ahead and pray. If anybody got anything else from the panel that would like to add anything before we get ready to pray out and say our great commission. Okay. Well, we just want to say thank you, Lord God. And as you heard that prayer request that Evangelist Stanton just spoke of for our friend, our brother Samuel, Lord God, that you will touch his body. Touch his heart, mind, and soul, Lord God, that you touch the heart, soul, and minds of his daughter, of his wife, Lord God, that you bring peace to their family, Lord God, that you bring joy to their family, that you heal this man, Lord God, from the crown of his head to the soles of his feet, Lord God, and that he shall come out of the ICU and into a normal room and preparing to go home and healed and delivered, Lord God. We touch and agree in the Spirit by the Holy Ghost and by the Word of God, Lord God, that your will shall be done in this man's life, Lord God, and in the life of his family, Lord God. We decree peace. We claim peace, you know, because of your word says that we can claim it, Lord God. Your word says, call those things to be not as though they were, Lord. And so we call those things to be not as though they were, Lord God. And we just want to say, we ask that you, Lord God, that you move on your Holy Ghost power by everyone that's listening tonight, Lord God, everyone that's clinging on to your word, everyone that is in the need of something from you, Lord God, everyone that is in the need of healing, Lord God, everyone that is in the need of mental healing, everyone that is in anything that anyone needs that's crying out to you, Lord God, we touch and agree with them tonight, Lord God, that you can hear them and touch them and deliver them, Lord God, so that they know that you are God. All by yourself, and that you don't need help from nobody, Lord God. That they will continue to lean on you, Lord God. That we all will continue to lean on you as a collective body of believers, Lord God. No matter where we are, what are we doing on an everyday, day-to-day basis, Lord God. Help us to continue to be examples of who you are in our lives, Jesus. Lord, we just want to say we thank you, we love you, and we acknowledge you as being our Lord and Savior in our daily walk and everything that we do and say, Lord God. And we just say thank you and give you all the glory and all the honor, Lord God. Lord God, we pray that you restore our speaker tonight, Minister Tolbert, Lord God, that you restore back into him, Lord God, what he's given out for your glory tonight, Lord God. We rebuke every foul or unclean spirit that may try to come to attach himself to him, Lord God, to his wife, to their children, to their home. Cover their house, cover their home, Lord God, that you be glorified in them, Lord God. And every member and saint of Praise Tabernacle Church, I decree the same prayer. Everybody that's listening tonight, I decree the same thing on each and everyone's home, each and everyone's house, Lord God, that you protect everyone, Lord God, and that you continue to let us know who you are as we continue to seek your face, Lord God. As we continue to seek your face, and as we prepare to leave off the phone tonight, Lord God, but never your presence. Our great commission is in Matthew 28, verses 19 and 20. Go ye therefore, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things, and whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. God bless you. God bless you all. And good night on behalf of Bishop Omar Zachary and his wife, Lady Zachary, and Praise Tabernacle Church. We pray that you continue and tune in with us again on Thursday. God bless you.